title of the series is Living Life Beyond Regret. Would you please say that? Say Living Life Beyond Regret. And today I want to talk about perfectionism and self-judgment. Perfectionism and self-judgment. So as a whole, when we're talking about regret, I've defined it this way, that regret is a feeling of sorrow for something that has happened. And so this encapsulates many things. It could be disappointments. It could be mistakes. It could be failures, losses. Could be missed opportunities. And so often we live life with regret. We look back with such pain and such sorrow about the things that have happened. We wish wouldn't have happened, the things we've done, the things we've said, we wish we wouldn't have said. And so we live with regret. God really wants to heal our hearts and touch us so that we live life beyond regret, so that we can enjoy our life right now and enjoy looking into our bright future that He has for every one of us. And so we want to live life beyond regret. Now today we want to deal with this idea of perfectionism and self-judgment. And so I want to define this very simply today, that perfectionism is an unhealthy pattern of thinking that demands perfection in any undertaking. And so it becomes really unhealthy when you put demands on yourself for perfection. It's really hard to live that way. And so in this context, when we talk about self-judgment, self-judgment is severe and healthy, unhealthy self-criticism. So you might be here today and you might struggle with an unhealthy pattern of feeling like you want everything to just be perfect, and it paralyzes you. It keeps you from trying new things. It keeps you from really enjoying life. It keeps you from taking steps of faith. It really paralyzes you because there's this unhealthy pattern where you want things to just be perfect. You want your job to be perfect, your relationships. You want everything to be just right. And if it isn't, then you withdraw, or it keeps you from holds you back. It keeps you from taking a step of faith. Or we'll say it this way, you may really feel bad about yourself because it's not just quite the way you want it to be. And maybe you struggle with self-judgment, where you are severely critical of yourself. So no matter what you do, it's not good enough. No matter what you do, you still feel inferior. You still feel insecure. These are really understandable patterns, and I want you to know that if you struggle with that, you're certainly not alone. So I think probably if we took a survey in here, all of us would relate to struggling with perfectionism at times and even self-judgment. Let me give you some indicators if you really struggle with perfectionism or even self-judgment. You're a person where everything is black or white. In other words, it's all or nothing. And then you start realizing life has a lot of gray areas. But you struggle with that. Or you set impossibly high goals for yourself. That could be an indication that you struggle with perfectionism. In fact, they're probably unrealistic goals, but you wouldn't put them on somebody else, but you put them on yourself. You are overly concerned about what others think of you. That could be a big symptom of perfectionism, because you're so concerned about others, and so it kind of holds you back. You feel upset at the smallest mistake, because you didn't just get the project quite right. You didn't just do it right. And so you're really upset by even the smallest mistake. Here's one. When someone points out something you need to work on, you feel rejected. I know I've struggled with this so much. And my wife has said to me in robust conversations and disagreements, and then I'll take it so personally, and I'll feel so rejected. And she'll challenge me. And she'll say, well, why are you taking this so personally? I love you. I love you so much. And I'm not rejecting you. I'm just giving you another idea, another thought. But you might struggle with perfectionism if you feel rejected by the slightest criticism or the slightest idea that somebody might point out an area of growth in your life. How about this one? You compare your weaker skills to the best traits of someone else. So you're in this trap of comparison, and you take your weak skills, and then you compare them to the very best of someone else, and you feel like you're inferior, and it's gnawing away at you. Here's one, and I want you to really take note of this one. You minimize your God-given gifts and agonize over your weaknesses. Now, I have done this so much in my life. God has given me gifts, and He's given you gifts. Say that out loud. He's given me a lot of gifts. Come on. He's blessed you, right? But then I'll minimize them, and then I'll agonize over the stuff that I'm not very good at. And I'll focus on that, on my weak areas and the things that I'm not really good at. And in doing so, my brother and sister, listen carefully. In doing so, I minimize all the great things and the gifts that God has blessed me with. May God help us with that area of our life. Here's another one. You seem to always find fault with yourself, no matter what. There's something wrong with what you do, something wrong with the way you did it. You find fault with everything you do. In fact, you are your worst critic. Here's another one. Because you're not happy with yourself, you tend to criticize others. This is where it starts bleeding. It starts leaking out. The pressure points. Where bottom line is you're really not comfortable with who you are. You don't like yourself. You don't feel good because you're a perfectionist. You're not measuring up to your standard. And so what do? We often take it out on the people that are closest to us. So you're arguing with family members. You're being unkind. But if you, truth be told, if you pulled the curtain back, it's because you don't like yourself. And so you're taking it out on other people. Here's another one. You think that what you've accomplished is not good enough. No matter what, everyone around you might say, that is amazing what you just said. It's incredible. But for you, it's not good enough. Yeah, but I should have done it a little better. Yes, I should have. Well, it wasn't quite what I was expecting. And so we don't really enjoy the moment because we don't feel like it's good enough. Here's one. You procrastinate because you're intimidated by the fact that things won't be perfect. And so inside, there's turmoil. Inside, there's dissatisfaction. And so you put things off because you know deep down, or you're intimidated by the fact it's not going to quite be the way you want it to be. It's not going to be perfect. And so you just hold back. And so I think these are symptoms of perfectionism. I think it's symptoms of self-judgment. And I would venture to say that every one of us can relate to these in many, many different ways. But for some of us, it might really be an unhealthy pattern. Maybe you've grown. Maybe God's really healed you. There's obviously some overlap on things here that have to do with your identity and have to do with who you are as a child of God, and we'll talk about some of these things. And so I want to focus on some things that will help us with this, that we need to work on acceptance of ourselves, acceptance really of our humanity. And then I'm going to give you some things that can work on our affirmation. So things that we would just accept, and then things that we would be affirmed in the process. I have discovered, and in my own journey, that when I feel like I'm struggling with perfectionism and stuff, that really much of that deep root is that I feel insecure. I don't feel good about myself. And so I really need to receive God's love. I need to receive His affirmation. I need to really see what God's Word has to say about some things. So let's talk about some things on acceptance. What can you work on? Okay, and it's a work in progress. I understand that, but you can work on this. The first one is this: I'm not perfect, and it's okay. In other words, you don't have to measure up. Now, that's easier said than done, that you're not perfect. We all know that at a cognitive level, but may God give us the grace to say, you know what? It is true. I'm not perfect, but I'm really okay with that. And so you got to pray into that. You got to ask the Lord to help you accept your humanity. Romans 3 verse 10 says this, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. And so this has to be your prayer. Say, Lord, help me to accept my humanity. I'm not perfect, and it's okay. I want to work on that. Here's another one. I'm acceptable to God. You realize that God accepts you today? I mean, he loves you with an everlasting love, loves you so much that he gave his only son. But he accepts you for who you are. Listen to Romans 15, verse 7. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. So we're challenged that we need to accept one another, but God says, accept one another as Christ accepted you. How did the Lord accept you? With his extravagant love, with his unconditional love. He accepts you just the way you are, with all your mistakes, with all your inferiority, with all of your insecurities, all of your stuff. He just accepts you. Now look at this verse. This is really important. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you. So let's just stop right there. Christ accepted me. Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. So this is really important. Acceptance of ourselves brings praise to God. Acceptance of each other brings praise to God. So I want to say this very, very gently, but it could be that if we're not accepting ourselves, we're really not glorifying God. If we're not accepting our humanity, we're not glorifying the Lord. Because God isn't putting this heavy on you. He's not putting this heavy thing that you got to measure up to. He accepts you just for who you are, with all of your mistakes, with all of your inadequacies, with all of your insecurities. And so this brings praise to the Lord, to say, I'm acceptable to God, and to rejoice over that. Accepting your humanity. A third one, I have certain limitations. To just really accept that you have limitations. Listen to Romans 9, verse 20. But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? I think we've all said this in one way or another. God, why did you make me this way? Why did you give me this personality? Why do I have the certain passions that I have, Lord? Lord, why do I have such fervor in certain areas and such complacency in other areas? Lord, why did you make me this way? But who is a man, who is a woman who can say to him who formed him, why did you make me this way? In other words, I need to realize I have certain limitations. And to actually accept that. May God give us the grace, and may we pray into this and walk in this journey and say, Lord, help me to accept who I am with all my strengths and all my weaknesses, with the things I like about myself and the things that I don't like about myself. Every single one of us, if we were really honest, there are things that you just do not like about yourself. There are things that I could tell you, I don't know if I will today, that when I look in the mirror, I just don't like about myself. I don't care for the way I look all the time. And I have to accept my limitations and say, you know what? God created me and designed me. Yes, we live in a broken world, but can I accept myself? Can I accept the limitations that I have? All the stuff that maybe I'm not that great at? May God help us. Fourthly, can I accept this, that I'm okay with making mistakes? Can that be your prayer? Lord, help me to be okay with making mistakes. Listen to Philippians 3:12 out of the NASB. Not that I have already grasped it or have already become perfect, but I press on. Can we accept this, that you're really not going to ever achieve perfection until you get to heaven? And so how much more joyful, how much more peaceful to say, okay, I accept my humanity and I haven't already grasped it. I haven't already become perfect. So what am I going to do? I'm going to press on. I'm going to continue on in this journey. Make that your prayer, that that perfectionism wouldn't paralyze you, but that you would actually press on. Here's another one that we could pray about to accept. I will still take responsibility when I fail. Now, I put this one in here because if you struggle with perfectionism, if I give you all these other things, you're going to be upset because you're a perfectionist. And so I'm not saying you don't take responsibility for when you do fail. No, you still take responsibility, but you are looking at the big picture and understanding that you are so human. We should probably say that out loud. Just say, I'm human. Look to your neighbor and say, I don't know if you realize, but you're human, right? So we still take responsibility. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So yeah, we still take responsibility, but we're not driven by this unhealthy pattern. Here's another one we should pray about. I will not be liked and loved by everyone. Just accept it. People, not everyone's going to like you. Not everyone's going to love you. So the sooner we can accept that, the more peaceful we'll be. It's just reality. You know, Jesus said it in John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. So welcome to the family of God, where not everyone's going to like you and not everyone's going to love you. So may the Lord help us to accept that. Here's another one we can pray into. May the Lord give us grace to do this. I accept the circumstances I cannot change. I think that when we struggle with perfectionism, that we lose our joy and our peace because we're so troubled by our circumstances. Why? Why did that happen? Why did this accident happen? Why did this scenario happen? Why did that person do this? And it tears us up inside. And so our prayer has to be, Lord, help me to accept the circumstances that I just can't change. Instead of torturing yourself, that you're actually living in peace. Proverbs 19:21 says this, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the purpose of the Lord that prevails. So you may have had many plans and things didn't quite work out the way they did, but may God give you the grace to accept that all the circumstances may not have been the way you wanted them to be. Here's the powerful thing, is that even if it was an accident, a mistake, something happened, and we're going to get to this in our series, God's redemption and restorative power is so immense and incredible that you can live in joy, peace, and victory and experience even more than you thought or imagined, because that's the grace of God. Say amen to that. And so may God help us accept our circumstances. Here's another one. May God help us to do this, to accept the fact that I'm more concerned about myself than others are. What do I mean by that? Well, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 16:24, and this is out of the Contemporary English Version. Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you want to be my followers, you must forget about yourself. You must take up your cross and follow me. I have found that when I struggle with perfectionism, I'm often more concerned about what other people think than about what I'm thinking or what the Lord is thinking. I'm driven by that. And so you have to accept the fact that you're more worried about yourself than anybody else. And so I don't want to hurt your feelings here today. I really don't. I want to be sensitive to you. But people don't think about you as much as you think that they do. In fact, the reality is you probably all week long, well, what is so-and-so thinking about me? Well, when I said that, what are they thinking? What's everyone thinking at church? What's everyone thinking at work? I know this is going to burst some of your bubbles, but they're probably not thinking about you at all. Now let's pray for inner healing. Let's pray for inner healing. Because that's disappointing, right? But the reality is it's not as big of a thing as we make it out to be sometimes. It's really more you than other people. May God really help us to get that right perspective. Here's one I would pray that we could accept. Achievement is not necessarily about the grade. It's really not. Think about it. When you look back at school, I cannot remember all the grades that I got. Now, some of you can because you were a 4.0, and so that's easy. You remember that you got all A's. I didn't get all A's, so I can't remember, but I passed. I graduated. And so it's not so much about the grade all the time. It's about whether or not you pass. So this is a little disconcerting, all right? This is very disconcerting. If you think about this. When you get surgery, if somebody gets surgery, let's say it's brain surgery, you have no idea if that guy got an A or barely passed. It's very disconcerting, right? But all they have to do is pass, and they're the brain surgeon, but you don't know how good of a brain surgeon they are. So that's a little disconcerting, but on the other side of that coin, think about it. It's really, for you, it's not about the grades so much. It's about the journey and you passing. Say amen to that. And so may God really help us. Here's a scripture, Proverbs 24, verse 16. It's out of New Living Translation. The godly may trip 7 times, but they'll get up again. Oh, that's a great verse. Even if you fall, fall forward. Even if you stumble, stumble forward. Just keep getting back up. Even if you trip a few times, you just get up. Again, the godly. The NIV says the righteous, even though the righteous fall 7 times. So say this out loud. I'm a godly person. So even godly people trip and mess up. But here's the key. You get right back up. You get right back up. And so achievement is not necessarily about the grade. The last one is this, that we can pray into acceptance. The Lord is pleased with me. Please say that out loud. Say, the Lord is pleased. I think we should say it again. Say, the Lord is pleased. I think you should pinch your neighbor and say, the Lord is pleased with you. The Lord is pleased with you. Okay? Now, we all have different backgrounds, but I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in the church, and so I always heard that I should please the Lord. I wanted to live for the Lord. But do you know that I've put so many unrealistic standards on myself to please the Lord? And if I didn't read the Bible enough, or I wasn't fasting and praying enough, I felt like a failure. I felt like I wasn't measuring up. If I wasn't, my spiritual disciplines weren't strong enough, or I wasn't witnessing enough, doing enough for the Lord. I felt so bad about myself. And so maybe you can resonate with that. I want you to know today, and this is really, really important, the Lord is pleased with you. He's really pleased with you. Does he see areas of improvement? Sure. But he is pleased with you. Let's say that one more time. Say, the Lord is pleased with me. Now, let me give you Zephaniah 3:17. Many of you have it memorized in other versions, but I want to give it to you out of the contemporary English version. The Lord your God wins victory after victory and is always with you. He celebrates and sings because of you. I think the NIV says he rejoices over you and dances over you with singing. Christian and contemporary English version. He celebrates and sings because of you, and he will refresh your life with his love. Do you know the Lord is just singing over you, pleased with you, so happy with you? Yeah, you can improve, but I want you to have this visual when you have a little baby and you're just holding them, singing over them, so happy. You're pleased with that baby. Say amen to that. And so these are some things that we need to really accept about ourselves, that we need to really pray. This will help us and dealing with perfectionism and dealing with this almost self-hatred and self-judgment and deeply, severely critical of ourselves. Pray about these things on this journey and say, God, help me. Help me to accept these realities and these truths. Now, What are some things that we can work on with regard to affirmation? What are some real practical things that that will help us in affirming ourselves as we deal with this? Well, the first one is this. I was created in God's image. And so I'm going to give you some scriptures and declarations. These are things that really you should probably memorize, that you should have very ingrained in you, because the enemy will come to mess with your mind. The world will come with temptation. And so you've got to get this ingrained in your heart and in your mind. So Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So you're created in the image of God. You're his reflection. So there's nobody like you. Nobody has your eyes. Think about that. Nobody has your fingerprints. Nobody has your DNA structure. Actually, no one smells like you either. I mean, you have a unique smell, evidently, biologically. You're so unique, right? But you are created in his image. You reflect the image of God. And so you've got to affirm yourself in that. Say, man, I was created in God's image. I'm a child of God. I'm reflecting his image. That is a powerful affirmation. You need to affirm yourself in this next one. I will not live as a prisoner of my past. Don't let yourself be imprisoned or paralyzed by your past. Isaiah 43:18-19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it? So may God give us the grace to forget the former things. Pray that you will not be imprisoned by the things of the past. Because who you are as a child of God, God is saying to you, forget the former things. Forget the former thing. He's doing a new thing in your life. That's redemption. He's springing up inside of you for new things. So say to yourself, affirm, I will not live as a prisoner of the past. The third one is this, I will not live in condemnation. Okay, so condemnation is smothering. Condemnation pushes you down. Condemnation paralyzes you. Condemnation is oppression. And so you've got to affirm that you are not going to live in condemnation. Galatians 4:6-7 says this, because you are his son, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out Abba, who calls out daddy, who calls out dad, father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So you have to affirm yourself. I am not going to live in condemnation because I'm a child of God. I'm not a slave to sin anymore. I've received an inheritance. You affirm yourself in your walk with the Lord and you develop this relationship that he's your father, he's your dad, he's your Abba. It's that kind of affirmation and confidence that comes. And so there's no condemnation. Say amen to that. The fourth one is this. Affirm, say to yourself, I will stop comparing myself to others. If we're going to get victory over this thing, we got to quit comparing ourselves to other people. Psalm 139:14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So if you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, you're not believing God because he says you're wonderful. You say, well, I don't like my hair. I don't like my teeth. I don't like my body type. I don't like the way I'm made. Then you're not believing what God says about you because he says you're wonderful. I don't feel that smart. I don't feel that talented. Then you're not believing what God says about you because he says you are wonderful. So you got to start believing that. Got to start affirming yourself in that process. And if you're here today and you're really struggling in this pattern, it's broken. I say that lovingly, but God wants to heal that and get you to a place where you can actually accept and like who you are. And you can say, man, I'm awesome. I'm wonderful. You should probably just say that today. Say, I'm wonderful. Say, I am awesome. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm awesome. Because that's what God says about you, right? So may God give us the grace to stop comparing ourselves to others. We're not as beautiful, we're not as handsome, we're not as athletic, we're not as strong, but you are wonderful. Here's another one. This will help us. I will see new challenges as growth points. Do you know that when you're struggling with perfectionism, you don't want to take a step of faith or a risk? It paralyzes you. But if you could say, you know what, I'm going to see every challenge as a growth point, not as something that I have to attain perfectly, but I'm practicing, I'm growing. So you remember the brain surgeon, the doctor who just barely passed, but he's working on your brain, right? Or the doctor that we admire because he's a doctor, she's a doctor, but she doesn't know everything. In fact, she's so bold about it, she puts on her sign, family practice. She barely passed, but she gets to be a doctor, and she says, try this, and if it doesn't work, come back, and we'll try something else. She's practicing, and you're practicing. It's a growth point, so it doesn't have to be perfect. In life, you just say, you know what, I'm growing. So every new challenge is I'm working out, I'm increasing, I'm getting stronger, but I'm just practicing on this thing. So I'm going to use it as a growth point. Proverbs 3:26, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. And so you're confident in him because he's going to keep you from messing up. It's a sense where you don't have to be afraid of failing. If you've been an athlete and there's all that pressure on game day, why did you do so well in the scrimmage? Because there was no pressure. There was no pressure to perform. There was no pressure to produce. You were just having fun during the scrimmage and you did your absolute best. But when it came to game day, maybe you froze up. Why? Because you felt like you had to perform. So if you could use it as a growth point, what you're saying to yourself is, hey, I don't have to produce in perfection, but I'm just having fun. I'm practicing. I'm learning. I'm growing. So it's okay if I miss a shot. It's okay if I don't do exactly the way I wanted to do. Say amen to that. Say amen. Here's another one. Affirm yourself. God is not judging me based on my performance. That's a big one. You've got to say to yourself, man, God is not judging me based on my performance. Colossians 1:10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. We want to please him, but watch this. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. So yes, we want to please him. But you are bearing fruit and you're growing in the knowledge of God. Say this out loud. Say, I'm growing. You're not perfect, but you're growing. Fruit grows. That's a really important statement that I just made. Fruit grows. It doesn't just happen automatically. So why do you think that you just have to happen automatically? Why do you think you just had to have it all together and be perfect? Because fruit grows little by little. A child grows little by little. You're growing little by little. If we could get a hold of this, it would refresh us and empower us and bring the joy back in our life. And so, yes, you want to please the Lord, but you put so much pressure on yourself to be perfect in the moment instead of realizing, you know, well, I'm growing in this thing. And it's okay if I stumble and fall. And it's okay if I don't get it right. And I'm going to release grace to myself. So God is not judging me based on my performance. Is this too good a news for you? Okay, here's another one. I will keep my mind on the Lord and be at peace. Because often we're thinking about ourselves. We're not measuring up. We're worried about what everybody else thinks. God wants to set us free from that, so he wants us to keep our mind on the Lord so that we'll be at peace. Listen to Isaiah 26, verse 3, New King James Version. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So you keep your mind stayed on the Lord, thinking about the Lord. You know what I found out? When I am talking to the Lord and I'm just having my personal relationship with the Lord, I feel good. But when I start comparing myself to other people, I don't feel very good. I feel inferior. I feel insecure when I fall into that trap. But when my mind is on the Lord and just talking to him as a child, man, I feel at peace. And so may God give us the grace to just keep our mind stayed on the Lord, stayed on the Lord. Get your eyes on the Lord. Fix your eyes on the Lord. I think the NLT says that you fix your thoughts on the Lord. It's this idea of staying on the Lord. Stay, keep your mind stayed on the Lord. Here's a good one. I am free to enjoy life. I think that if we struggle with perfectionism, we have trouble enjoying life because it's just not perfect. So we feel bad about ourselves. We feel like we're not measuring up. And so I just want to speak that word to all of you. God wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to just enjoy life. So Jesus said it this way, John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. So, and this will be a good word for you perfectionists, because you're so hard on yourself. Okay, so I'm going to give it to you. Start enjoying life and quit beating yourself up. Come on, somebody. And quit being so legalistic and quit putting such high standards on yourself. If Jesus really sets you free, he sets you free indeed so that you can enjoy life. So here's a good word for the perfectionist. Obey Jesus. Oh, there, finally, I got a task I can do. Got a task I can do. Yeah, I'll obey him. Well, he's trying to tell you enjoy life. Just enjoy life. So in other words, may God give us the grace to be free from legalism and all this pressure that we put on ourselves, that we would just enjoy life. Here's another one. That I will stop judging myself. John 7:27, Jesus said this, stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. So please stop judging yourself by merely the things you do and don't do. You know, you're more of a severe judge on yourself than God is on you. You're judging yourself so severely. So a right judgment is a judgment like Jesus would make. And so Jesus isn't judging you just on your performance. He's judging you on who you are as a child. And so may we receive that word of grace, that word of love, to not be so severe and hard on ourselves. And so I encourage you, make that your prayer. Say, man, I'm not, Lord, help me to not judge myself, because you're not judging me that way. So you're harder on yourself than God is. You're harder on yourself than Jesus is. And the last one is this. God is a righteous judge. So 2 Timothy 4:8 says this, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So the Lord is the righteous judge. So I want to encourage you, go to God and let him judge you instead of you judging yourself. See, perfectionism, unfortunately, puts us in the place, an elevated place that's really inappropriate, because you're judging yourself, because God isn't judging. He's a righteous judge, and he's saying, my child, I love him, I accept you, I have an amazing plan for your life, but you keep judging yourself and paralyzing and tying yourself up by this thing called perfectionism and this thing called self-judgment. And so we really need to accept our humanity, but we need to affirm what God says about us. I really believe we'll get victory over this. Can you say amen, church? So I'm going to close. I'm going to invite you to go to Matthew chapter 25, Matthew 25. And I want to read to you this parable in closing on the talents. Now, hermeneutically, when he talks about talents, he's actually talking about money, but I actually like the fact that, he uses the word talents here. Luke uses the word minus, but he's referring to, money. But I like it because it works. We're talking about our talents. We're talking about our skills. We're talking about who we are. And so in Matthew 25 and verse 14, it says, Jesus gives this parable. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, each according to his own ability. And then he went on his journey. Now, if you've struggled with perfectionism, then maybe you've been like me. I have trouble getting past that first verse. Because I'm like, why am I a 1-talent guy? Can you see the insecurity? Can you see the inferiority? Can you see that I don't feel good about myself? So I haven't even gotten into the parable because I'm troubled that I don't have 5 talents. Why is somebody else so gifted at that? Why are they so smart? Why do they have so much money? So I can't even get past the verse because I feel inferior. I feel insecure. I'm all tied up in knots. That's not a good place to live, is it? And so you might have said to yourself, why am I a 1-talent person? And so we don't even get to, the rest of it. And then verse 16, the man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, why did he hide it? Let's preach this into the text based on our sermon today. The man or the person here who buries their talent, they're paralyzed by perfectionism. They're afraid to invest, to take a risk. There's fear that's there, or they're afraid that it just won't be perfect. So they're not going to take a step of faith. They're not going to do that particular thing because they're paralyzed by perfection. Why didn't this person do that? After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them, and the man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And the man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Can you see the insecurity? Can you see the inferiority? Can you see that he's thinking about his stuff and him? Lord, you're a hard man. He's putting it on him. And so he's paralyzed. He's not able to do anything. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And his master replied, now I'm sorry I have to read this part of the verse. I wouldn't say it this way, but I mean, it is in the red and Jesus said this. So I have to say this. You wicked, lazy servant. You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from here. And then the last part of the verse, because it has to do with the end times, and throw that worthless service outside and into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a whole another sermon in the context of the parable. But here's the thing, is that this person was paralyzed by their perfectionism. In other words, it was this idea that anything less than perfect won't be acceptable, so I'm going to bury it. Not even attempting a task or anything, because perfection feels unattainable. And so it starts in this inferiority, this place where, well, I'm just a 1-talent person, and, and they have 5 talents. I didn't have that much education. Well, they started out with a whole lot of wealth. And that starting point misses everything. Because the parable is not about how much talent. It's about being faithful. And watch this, watch this, watch this. If you're faithful, he gives you more. So it's not about the comparison aspect. So even if I am just a 1-talent guy, if I'm faithful, he'll give me more talents. He'll add things to me, and there'll be joy in the journey, and there'll be a sense of doing what God has called me to do and a fulfillment in that. And so he'll take away all of that yucky stuff of comparison that drags you down. And instead, you realize this is what God has given me, and I rejoice in that. I'm going to be faithful in that. And then the Lord blesses it. Because if you compare yourself to other people all the time, you're just miserable. Because you're always going to find somebody smarter, somebody more athletic, somebody with more money. And even if you don't find somebody that has more money or more talented, you're still not going to feel good about yourself, because the very fabric of who you are is not based on your identity, but it's based on your performance. That's a terrible way to live. So the great news is here. It really has nothing to do with how many talents. We missed it. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with you taking what God has given you, taking a step of faith, and enjoying life. I found out, and I'll reiterate this, when I am comparing myself to other people, I am not happy. When I compare my church to other churches, but when I'm focused on the Lord and I'm focused on you and loving each other, man, I'm happy. Hallelujah. Because I'm just doing what God has called me to do. And this is in my circle. And we're having a great time in the Lord. Can you say amen to that? Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet.